Chapter 18. What a world of happiness their harmony foretells! Through the balmy air of night, how they ring out their delight! From the molten golden notes, and all in tune, what a liquid ditty floats to the turtle dove that listens, while she gloats on the moon! Oh, from out the sounding cells, what a gush of euphony voluminously wells! How it swells! How it dwells on the future, how it tells of the rapture that impels to the swinging and the ringing of the bells, bells, bells of the bells, 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 bells to the rhyming and the chiming of the bells. 3. Hear the loud alarum bells, brazen bells. What tale of terror now their turbulency tells. In the startled ear of night, how they scream out their affright. Too much horrified to speak, they can only shriek, shriek, out of tune, in a clamorous appealing to the mercy of the fire, in a mad expostulation with the deaf and frantic fire, leaping higher, 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 with a desperate desire, and a resolute endeavor now to sit, or never, by the side of the pale-faced moon. Oh, the bells, bells, bells! What a tale their terror tells of despair! How they clang, and clash, and roar! What a horror they outpour on the bosom of the palpitating air! Yet the ear, it fully knows, by the twanging and the clanging, how the danger ebbs and flows. Yet, the ear distinctly tells, in the jangling and the wrangling, how the danger sinks and swells, by the sinking, or the swelling in the anger of the bells of the bells of the bells, 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 bells in the clamor and the clangor of the bells. IV. Hear the tolling of the bells, iron bells. What a world of solemn thought their monody compels. In the silence of the night, how we shiver with affright at the melancholy meaning of their tone. For every sound that floats from the rust within their throats is a groan. And the people are, the people they that dwell up in the steeple, all alone, and who, tolling, 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 in that muffled monotone, feel a glory in, so rolling on the human heart a stone they are neither man, nor woman they are neither brute nor human they are ghouls. And their king it is who tolls. And he rolls, 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 rolls a paean from the bells. And his merry bosom swells with the paean of the bells. And he dances, and he yells, keeping time, 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 in a sort of runic rhyme, to the paean of the bells, keeping time, 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 in a sort of runic rhyme, to the throbbing of the bells, bells, bells to the sobbing of the bells, keeping time, 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 as he knells, 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 in a happy runic rhyme, to the rolling of the bells, 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 to the tolling of the bells, 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 bells to the moaning and the groaning of the bells. 1849. Tilde 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 end of text tilde 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 equals 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 Yulalum. The skies they were ashen and sober. The leaves they were crisped and sear. The leaves they were withering and sear. It was night in the lonesome October of my most immemorial year. It was hard by the dim lake of Auber, in the misty mid-region of Weir. It was down by the dank tarn of Auber, in the ghoul-haunted woodland of Weir. Here once, through an alley titanic, of cypress, I roamed with my soul of cypress, with Psyche, my soul. There were days when my heart was volcanic as the scoriac rivers, that roll as the lavas, that restlessly roll their sulphurous currents down Ionic, in the ultimate climes of the pole, that groan as they roll down Mount Ionic in the realms of the boreal pole. Our talk had been serious and sober, but our thoughts they were palsied, and sear our memories were treacherous and sear, for we knew not the month was October, and we marked not the night of the year, ah, night of all nights in the year. We noted not the dim lake of Auber, though once we had journeyed down here, we remembered not the dank tarn of Auber, nor the ghoul-haunted woodland of Weir. And now, as the night was senescent, and star dials pointed to morn as the star dials hinted of morn at the end of our path a liquescent and nebulous luster was born, out of which a miraculous crescent arose with a duplicate horn astarts the diamonded crescent, distinct with its duplicate horn. And I said, he is warmer than Dian. She rolls through an ether of size. She revels in a region of size. She has seen that the tears are not dry on these cheeks, where the worm never dies, and has come past the stars of the lion to point us the path to the skies, to the Lethean peace of the skies come up, in despite of the lion, to shine on us with her bright eyes come up, through the lair of the lion, with love in her luminous eyes. But Psyche, uplifting her finger, said, "Adly this star I mistrust, her pallor I strangely mistrust. Ah, hasten, ah, let us not linger. Ah, fly, let us fly, for we must." In terror she spoke, letting sink her wings till they trailed in the dust, in agony sobbed, letting sink her plumes till they trailed in the dust, till they sorrowfully trailed in the dust. I replied, "His is nothing but dreaming. Let us on, by this tremulous light. Let us bathe in this crystalline light. Its sibyllic splendor is beaming with hope and in beauty to night sea. It flickers up the sky through the night. Ah, we safely may trust to its gleaming, and be sure it will lead us aright. We safely may trust to a gleaming that cannot but guide us aright, since it flickers up to heaven through the night." Thus I pacified Psyche and kissed her, and tempted her out of her gloom, and conquered her scruples and gloom. And we passed to the end of the vista, but were stopped by the door of a tomb, by the door of a legended tomb. And I said, "Had it written, sweet sister, on the door of this legended tomb?" She replied, "Lelium Ululum, T is the vault of thy lost Ululum." Then my heart it grew ashen, and sober as the leaves that were crisped, and sear as the leaves that were withering, and sear, and I cried, "T was surely October on this very night of last year, that I journeyed down here. That I brought a dread burden down here on this night, of all nights in the year. Ah, what demon has tempted me here? Well I know, now, this dim lake of Auber, this misty mid-region of Weir. Well I know, now, this dank tarn of Auber, this ghoul-haunted woodland of Weir." 1847. --- End of text. --- To Helen, I saw thee once only years ago. I must not say how many, but not many. It was a July midnight, and from out a full-orbed moon, that, like thine own soul, soaring, sought a precipitate pathway up through heaven, there fell a silvery silken veil of light, with quietude, and sultriness, and slumber, upon the upturned faces of a thousand roses, that grew in an enchanted garden, where no wind dared to stir, unless on tiptoe, fell on the upturned faces of these roses that gave out, in return for the love light, their odorous souls in an ecstatic death, fell on the upturned faces of these roses, that smiled and died in this parter, enchanted by thee, and by the poetry of thy presence. Clad all in white, upon a violet bank I saw thee half reclining, while the moon fell on the upturned faces of the roses, and on thine own, upturned alas, in sorrow. Was it not fate, that, on this July midnight, was it not fate, whose name is also sorrow, that bade me pause before that garden gate, to breathe the incense of those slumbering roses? No footstep stirred. The hated world and slept, save only thee and me. Oh, heaven! Oh, God! How my heart beats in coupling those two words. Save only thee and me. I paused, I looked, and in an instant all things disappeared. Ah, bear in mind this garden was enchanted. The pearly luster of the moon went out. The mossy banks and the meandering paths, the happy flowers and the repining trees, were seen no more. The very roses' odors died in the arms of the adoring airs. All expired, save thee, save less than thou. Save only the divine light in thine eyes, save but the soul in thine uplifted eyes. I saw but them, they were the world to me. I saw but them, saw only them for hours, saw only them until the moon went down. What wild heart history seemed to be written upon those crystalline, celestial spheres. How dark a woe, yet how sublime a hope. How silently serene a sea of pride. How daring an ambition, yet how deep, how fathomless a capacity for love. But now, at length, dear Dian sank from sight into a western couch of thunder cloud, and thou, a ghost, amid the entombing trees didst glide away. Only thine eyes remained, They would not go, they never yet have gone, lighting my lonely pathway home that night. They have not left me as my hopes have since. They follow me, they lead me through the years. They are my ministers, yet I their slave. Their office is to illumine and enkindle my duty, to be saved by their bright light, unpurified in their electric fire, unsanctified in their religion fire. They fill my soul with beauty which is hope, and are far up in heaven the stars I kneel to in the sad silent watches of my night, while even in the meridian glare of day I see them still two sweetly scintillant Venuses, unextinguished by the sun. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.